This is True Vine Living Part 2. I am going to go over a few things we said on Wednesday night because I want everybody to get it. And many of you listened online, but I think we need to drill this in a form of meditation in us. So I'm never going to be about an agenda, and I'm never going to be about just trying to come up with a cute sermon for you. I want us to see the Word working for us. Yes. And this is working for me, and man, I've gotten lots of response off this, so I believe it's working for you. John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges or cleans, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. So y'all understand what that is, just in case someone's blank on that. You haven't looked around, but the vine, that's that trunk part of the grapevine, or the whatever kind of plant it is, or the tree trunk, whatever you want to say there. So I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now that's an interesting statement. You can do nothing. I don't know how many people really believe that, but that's what it says. Amen. So we're searching out the mystery of the vine and the branches. Herein lies the secret to producing fruit. This is where the good life exists. This is where fulfillment comes. And we're not studying to just see what Jesus said. We're studying and looking into what Jesus is saying to us personally. Every time he says, I am, you need to take it personal. He's trying to tell you. He's like calling out your name. He's like saying, Gabriel, I am. You got that? That's how he's talking. He's saying, Lizzie, I am. I am the true vine. So you need to take that very personal, what he's trying to say to you in these words. And so we're listening to what he's saying to us today through this John 15. I said this to you Wednesday night. If you want to know the meaning of Jesus being the true vine, thought and study are not the bottom line. We kind of think that way because in our world, we study all the time. We look at the scripture. We think about it. We do all these things. But really, to know Jesus, the bottom line is not the study. Jesus is the revealer. The bottom line is that if you go after him, he'll come to the door. If you search for him, he'll come to the door. And so, you know, when I was a teenager, I lived on a main street on Hopkins Street in San Marcos. Did you know that? I lived on Hopkins Street. It was a busy street. And the boys that liked me would drive up and down the street. You know, did that happen to y'all? They would drive up and down the street to see if I would be outside and see if maybe I'd wave at them and they'd pull over and see if they could get a date or something. That happened to any of y'all? That happened to me a lot. And I'm just kidding. But, you know, the ones that came to the door, that's when the door opened. Yeah, they came inside. And so come to the door. Let Jesus reveal himself to you. Come to the door. You know, praise the Lord. So Jesus alone reveals himself. He gives us Holy Spirit to open eyes to see him. So yes, thought, yes, study, yes, meditation, but knowing that that's leading to revelation. Because if you don't allow the Holy Spirit here, you're going to get religious. You're just going to be religious. I studied today. I did my devotional today. I. And you walk away like that, giving yourself a check mark because you did what you needed to do. And that's not it. You're seeking for him. That was good. I needed more amens than that in here. Y'all sleepy or what? All right. So So then what is our part? What would we say our part is? If we want this mystery, all that it's offering, what do? Well, you take this John 15, you take it, and you would bow to it. You would surrender to it. You would yield to it. Okay, what's in here? What can I get out of this? What are you really saying to me in this? And you just need to sense his presence in it and sense his love. And in this particular revelation, actually, it should bring you a real calm and a real rest when you find out that he is the vine. Amen. Because you're connected to a vine who will listen, do it all. He'll do it all. Amen. That's a good thing. That's something good to shout about. So this is what I'm trying to get across to you. With this word, don't just listen to words. Listen to him. Amen. So when he says, I am, he's directly talking to you. Now, this is what he's saying to you. If you don't get anything else out and you're like, well, I heard this Wednesday. Well, see, that's the problem. That's you listening with only these paddles right here. Man, I had people walking in the door going, the vine. And they want to, and I'm like, we're going to talk about it again. Good. Yeah. They heard it with this. Yeah. Amen. All right. So this is what he's saying to you. All that the vine could ever be to its branch, I will be to you. All that the vine can possibly be, I'm going to be that to you. Everything. Everything that the vine pushes out on the branch, I'm going to be that to you. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for revealing yourself to us, not only in thought, but in experience, in Jesus' name. Now, what we see here, things to look at would be this. We're looking at the vine, the husbandman, or what nowadays we'd call the gardener, the branches, the fruit, more, and much. Those are the main words we're looking at. Now, we're just looking at the first top portion of John 15 right now. But Jesus is the vine. All that the vine could ever be to its branch, I will be to you. That's what he's trying to tell you in this. That's why he said, without me, you can do nothing. He's trying to tell you, I've got it all. I can infuse you with everything you need. I can push everything you need right to you. Everything you need. And the vine is all because the husbandman has given him everything. He's all because God, the Father, gave him everything. He turned over all of the heavenly powers, all of the authority to Jesus. And so Jesus now is carrying everything that the Father carries. God's already worked with him. He's already fertilized him. He's already done it all. He's already made the ground good. Jesus is the perfect vine, and that perfect vine pushes sap to all the branches. Amen. Amen. So, Father takes care of Jesus. Even to this day, I don't know if you know what goes on in heaven, but I can tell you that people have said that have visited heaven and have been back here, they said that Jesus will actually, he'll be out with the people and then he'll go back into the Father. He just goes back in and then he comes back out. I hope that's not too big for you. You got to get the picture. Amen. So, Father takes care of him. So, we read in the New Testament how Jesus said, he only says what the Father says and only does what the Father does. That's what he's talking about. Oh, he just gets all his answers from God. Amen. Amen. God the Father had full control over Jesus on the earth. Jesus understood it was the easiest way to go. Go with the one who can provide it all, who can give you all the wisdom, who can give you all the words, and they all come to pass because everything God says comes to pass. Jesus had that figured out, and so it just worked. Yeah. That's just wonderful. That's just really pretty easy, isn't it? I mean, I'll just say what the Father says, because after all, he is right, and he is powerful. And if he says this is Monday, we're going to just roll over into Monday, because he's the creator. He's El Shaddai. He can move this to the next day if he wants to. He could stop the earth from turning. He could do whatever he wants to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Stop time if he wants to. So, A vine must have a husbandman or a gardener to plant it and watch over it. Has to. Jesus is the vine of God's planting. All he was, all he did, he owed to the Father. He always sought the Father's will and the glory, gave him the glory. So what is he doing? What was Jesus doing? He is showing us what a creature should be to a creator. This is how we need to act. This is what spirit-filled people need to act like Jesus. Listening to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's showing us what to do. He's showing us what's available. That's what he did in this word. So he had to become the vine for us to even become the branches. Two lessons here. One of them is dependence. You depend on him. The other one is perfect confidence. The Son could do nothing without the Father. Jesus said that. Did he say that? And as a dependent, you need a place to grow. You need fencing and watering and pruning. Jesus looked to the Father every day for his wisdom, for his strength. But then on the other part of that, he had absolutely nothing to fear because he knew Father would not disappoint him. He knew Father would show up. He knew Father would be there. He is always going to be there with the answer. And here's the truth, church. Father, or the husbandman, does not only look after the vine, but he looks after the branches. He looks after the branches. So Jesus is the vine, Father is the gardener. But the vine does need branches. Without branches, you can't bear any fruit. Here's the thing. The branch has one purpose. This is hard on people, but it's the truth. One purpose, to bear fruit for the vine. That is our purpose, to bear fruit for the vine. It has the same nature as the vine. Can you believe you received that? You have the same nature as Jesus. Glory to God. That's hard on people. Well, I'm not like Jesus. How can y'all say that we're like Jesus? They said it. The Word said it. Jesus said it. Father said it. We have the same nature as him. We're not God, but we are the children of God. We are his sons and daughters with the same nature. If you go back and look at some pictures of my mom and pop, you'll see some resemblance right here. I look like them in some ways. Well, we have the nature. I really have expressions like them and behave like them, especially when I'm cooking. I cook like my mama. I have her nature. I was making some bread yesterday, and the day before, John had dropped by to do a water run, and John and Journey came over, and I made two failings. I failed. It didn't work. I refused to give up. And I made it, and it worked. So that's like, I'm going to be a good cook like my mama. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Good baker. Praise the Lord. So you have tendencies like your parents. So the branch is like the vine in every aspect. He's the head. You're the body. Mm-hmm. You don't separate them. Last time I checked, I needed all of this. Yes. Amen. So, all one. You can't separate it. And then there's this lesson that we saw. I mentioned it a little bit before, but that absolute dependence. The vine stores up this life and this sap for you. And it's delivered to you. Okay? And it's not for itself. Jesus is delivering it to you. He gave his life for you. He's still giving life for you. He lives for me, and I live for him. He's in intercession for me right now. So the branches have nothing but what the vine will provide and impart. And so chapter 15 here is inviting you into something. He's inviting you into constant contact, or the word used in this scripture is called abiding. Abide with him. Stay close in union with him. It's really your only job. Now, people work, 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 work for Jesus, work, work, work for Jesus. But actually, if you abide in him, you're going to naturally put forth the fruit. Work, work, work for Jesus is religion. But abiding and focusing on him first. Some people get so busy in their ministry, they forget about Jesus. They get so busy in their ministry that they don't focus on God. They don't focus on what his word is saying. They're just so busy. You know, we have a joke that we've heard people say when you hang around church leadership and stuff. Get out of my way. I'm trying to minister, you know, to people. Well, the people are the ministry. But there are people with that attitude. I've worked at some of those places. Praise the Lord. But anyway, that fruit will come through you. So we say living in constant contact with Jesus. We say our one responsibility would be in union with Jesus. It would be living contact. Living contact would be our part. But here's what Jesus said. And this is what you need to remember. Be a branch. Be a branch. Just be a branch. That's all you got to do. Well, what position do you hold in the ministry? I'm a branch. Well, what is your title? Branch. I'm a branch. Yes, but where's all those letters after your name? B-R-A-N-C. I'm a branch. All the other is a bunch of fluff. Now, we do understand that there are names given to, like, fivefold in the different places for the purpose of order. Yeah. Well, we're all just a branch. We're all just receiving what part of the sap that we need to produce whatever it is we're supposed to produce. Y'all receive that today? So, we're a branch. So, learn the lesson here. You have only but to do one thing. Be a branch. Only a branch, nothing more, nothing less. Just what does that mean? It means you receive what the vine is offering you. Be a branch. Christ will be the vine who gives it all. The Father who made the vine what it is will surely make the branch what it should be.
Amen.
He'll do it.
Praise God.
You hear me?
Yeah.
I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Stop it. Stop that. Or maybe some of you are going, they're not good enough. You better stop that. Yeah. All you have to do is be the branch. It's just about get what you're going to get from him. Thank you for it, Lord. You know, Amanda has some little weenie dogs. How many are there? There's four babies, and they're all nursing from mama. And her name is Lola. I'm not going to sing it today because it's not a good song for us to sing during church. I didn't figure that out last time, but I did today. Their only concern is to get what they need to get from her.
That's right.
They didn't get up and get their little short legs and go look in the refrigerator. And can you just get the picture? One of them's holding the other one up while they're trying to get the door open. Like, we got to get some food. No, they're just getting all their nectar from Lola.
Yep.
That's their only concern.
Yep.
When next step comes, next step will come. But that's all that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, the last time I looked, there were squash coming out on my vines, on my squash plants.
Yep.
But they're not jumping off and going running around, you know, a little squish. Veggie Tales, Veggie. Okay. No, don't sing it. Don't sing it. That's kind of like singing Baby Shark, right? No, we don't. Okay. So it didn't jump off. It just stayed on the vine. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger until Ramona picked them and ate them. I didn't mean it. No, I'm kidding. We're picking them and eating them. But that's how it happened. It just stayed on the vine. There are peaches growing right now on our tree. And they're not going to jump off and go find something else to do.
No.
They're going to stay on the vine, and that's going to go up through there, and it's feeding. All that happens is the husbandman is watering it and fertilizing. That's all that's happening, right? And the vine is there doing its thing. Like, Pastor, this is 101. Yeah, well, you know what? 101 might be what we need. Because I think sometimes we just jump over to religious things.
Yeah.
I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to deny myself. Well, here's how you deny yourself. Well, I'll just go down the line with it. That'd be the easiest way to tell you. We'll just get there this way. Here it is. This is what you need to know. What is fruit? What is fruit? Because there's a whole lineup of what fruit could be, right? But this is the simplest answer. I gave it to you Wednesday night. I'm going to give it to you again. Fruit is something the branch bears that is not for itself. Fruit is something that the branch bears that is not for itself. So your fruit is not really your bank account or your health. Walk with me because we're going to take care of those two things. They'll be all right. But that's not what the fruit is. The fruit is what you're bearing that brings salvation to other people.
Yeah.
And yes, getting them saved, but I'm talking about anything that ministers to them, from being sweet to them or whatever needs, changing a flat tire or whatever comes along that you might do, serving people. And let me add this, even in where you work. Where you work should produce fruit for someone else. And that's when you're a great employee. You're producing fruit for other people. Amen. So, I like HEB. Anybody else?
Amen.
See, you don't know how much you like it until you live in Chicago. Because the grocery stores up there are about the size of the convenience stores.
Yeah.
And aren't they? And everything's crunched in them. Jewel Osco,
yeah.
Dominic's. Mm-hmm. And you're going in there and going, where's the stuff?
Yeah, really.
But HEB has everything.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. But I like it when they actually have someone to help me bag the stuff. Because we get a lot of stuff. When they bag the stuff and they help you, that's fruit.
Yeah.
They're doing their job.
True.
Amen. Those guys that go out there and get those carts, somebody just needs to hear this, and they bring the cart in and wash it down, they're bearing fruit.
Yeah.
Before y'all were born, actually before your mama was born, probably. Probably, did you hear that? Probably. I say that to Danny and Jordan and them all the time. Before y'all were born. See, we had service stations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look at...
Oh, yeah.
Were you old enough for them? You were? Okay, so we had service stations. So there was a guy in a hat with a red rag in his pocket.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he came out and checked the oil. He washed the windshield. I mean, that was fruit. We don't do that anymore. And our cars don't need the oil checked all the time. We have better cars now. That's fruit.
Yeah.
Anything people are doing to serve someone else,
that's
fruit.
That's good.
Yeah, but I get paid for it. Well, that's okay. If it's your assignment, that's fine that you get paid for it, but you're bearing fruit. You need to count that as seed yourself.
Amen.
Now, so let's get on down the line here. So... I think we get the plan mixed up. We've lived trying to get what we need. And then if we have some time left over, we'll bear fruit for people. Now I'm busy. I got to get this done. I got to take care of all of our needs. And then once I get this, I might volunteer a little something. See, that's really shallow thinking. Your whole life can just be bearing fruit.
Yeah.
You know, we all know this. I know not every Christian thinks this, but we understand that the jobs we take are our assignments. We're not just getting a job to make money. Now, some of you may be. I don't know if that's the way you think of it. But I like to think that we've grown up enough to live in this place where we're going to go serve in the area that God put on us to go serve in. Yes, there's a paycheck with it, which is your seed sack. Because you actually make a living by your giving. Amen. Come on, I need a bigger amen than that, because that's the truth. But so wherever your assignment is, you're going to bear fruit.
Right.
And you need to be thinking of it that way. And certainly, you're bearing fruit as an usher. You're bearing fruit as a greeter. You're bearing fruit cleaning the church. You're bearing fruit doing up here on the stage. All those things are bearing fruit. You're bearing fruit when you witness, when you pray, when you do all those things, when you show love to people. You're bearing fruit in all those ways because it's something that somebody else needs. But you need to think about that. Don't go down the line of, I got to take care of my family first. Your family will be taken care of. Because you're in the vine who produces everything else. This is not an excuse to get on the couch. It's not what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you that you just need to back up and think about how all this works. The truth of it. So, Fruit is something that's not for the vine. Yeah, you've heard the saying, because it is written that Jesus said it. He says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, when you first look at that, if you're pretty religious, you think that says it would be better for me to do without and give to others. I'm so holy. Right? If you kind of think that way, I'll do without so everyone else can have plenty. But listen to the wording. It is more blessed to give. In other words, the blessing is running along with your giving. And so if you give something over here, boom, it's coming back to you with more. Because that's the principle of the scripture. Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shake it together, running over. It multiplies. And so when you show love, love should start showing back up to you. When you give money, more money should be showing back up to you. When you give service, more service should be showing up to you. When you show favor, more favor should be showing. When you also pray for someone for healing, healing runs through you. You know, Job prayed for his friends. I mean, that dude was in bad shape. Everything had gone down. But when he prayed for his friends, he got his life back, and it was better than ever. That 9 months was horrible, but the rest of his life was wonderful. He had more kids, more everything, more money. He had everything. When he prayed for his friends, he bore fruit. And when he bore fruit, everything came rushing in behind that. Stop blocking that. You serve here, you serve in your life, stop blocking what's coming through. It's yours.
Yeah.
It's yours. It's yours today. Get it all. Take it all. You don't have to have some holy religious. Well, you need to be holy. That's a different story. But not a holy religious attitude. So I do believe that the giver seems to be more satisfied than the receiver. When I give, it's so wonderful. It just feels so good. But you can't outgive God. It'll just come back to you. I've told you this story probably 100 times about John Avanzini. He was before y'all were born. No. You guys know John. He came to our church. John was big on the prosperity scene, and he helped a lot of people. He started the debt-free army stuff. And he went through 11 Rolexes.
Yeah.
11.
Mm-hmm.
And people persecuted him for that. But what they don't know about him is that he kept giving them away. He kept giving them away. And they kept, you know, people just like, yeah, everybody keeps giving. No. And what they didn't know about him is he had sent 50,000 pounds of food to Russia right before someone had accused him. He was a big giver. He understood the principle, but he didn't stop up the harvest. Stop stopping up the harvest. It's yours. You don't have to feel bad about that. And you don't have to feel, will you get persecuted? Yeah. You prosperity person. You will. But I'm telling you something, and I got a word from the Lord, and I'm going to tell it to you right now. And ha-ha, devil. A few days ago, the word of the Lord came to me saying there was something ancient that had been seeded in the earth for centuries, and that it was about to be unseated. And I prayed about it, and this is what the Lord told me. That old stinking poverty mentality in the church is going to be unseated. And there's a thrust right now to persecute the prosperity people. Right now there is. But I'm telling you, this is their last stance. Because God is going to unseat that thing forever. And the body of Christ is going to come into the wealth that has already always been theirs. And we can get the gospel around the world. It won't be eking by to send a missionary. We won't just plant 50 churches in a year. We can plant hundreds of thousands of them. Because you and I can fight over who's going to plant the next one. Let me write the check. No, I want to write the check. Amen. Well, I just don't know about that. I think there's too much emphasis on that. Well, you might want to rethink that. You might want to really ask the Lord about that and see him, see how he was. He's not poverty-minded. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Why? Well, if that's a portion of your fruit, then its fruit is not for you. It's not all about you getting rich and having 15 cars. It's about what you can do for the gospel. You'll have a nice car along the way. Because your comfort, your blessings, your living good, your eating right, your getting to see the world, all those things are in the pipeline along with you bearing fruit. Because the better you live, the more fruit you can produce. Now, that's just the truth. The better my plants in my garden are living right now, the more fruit they're producing. They just stay attached to the vine and they're producing what's coming out of that dirt. Now, so notice this. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. So here's the more fruit. So he prunes. He takes away the life around it that is sucking the life out of the fruit. So does the branch purge itself? No, the husbandman does it. Which means that God is going to allow the light of the Word of God to shine on you, the washing of the water of the Word. You receive it, and it's cleared up. According to verse 3, now ye are clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you. So God's spoken Word is in the cleanser. I'm standing up here in the anointing telling you that prosperity is in the Bible, that healing is in the Bible. I'm also telling you what's your part in being the branch, right? All these things are coming to you in a flow, and it should be cleaning out any unbelief.
Right.
All those things should just be cleaning out all the unbelief. Yeah, but you don't know how my life is. Well, you just need to keep coming. You just need to keep listening. You just need to stay in the river. You just need to keep hearing. You just need to keep saying, I believe I receive it. You just need to keep flowing. You just need to keep learning how to use your faith, because you're going to produce fruit if you do that. You're clean through the word that I've spoken. So what it does is it brings light. The word of God will bring light. And it's not like the law, which only points out what's wrong with you but can't help you change.
Yeah.
The light of the word, the sword of the spirit, the spoken word empowers you to discern your soul and go, you know what, my thinking was wrong on that.
Right. Yeah.
Man, the day that happened to me, the day someone told me God was good, I went, oh, really? I want to know about this. Because I thought this Bible said he was doing all this stuff to people. I heard Keith Moore say this morning something to this effect. I don't know if I'll get it exactly right, but he said, I don't think any of us are looking for someone to shoot us so then they can bandage us up. Well, you don't take your kids to the bus and hit them with a hammer before they go to learn. Yeah. Now you're in pain. You're going to learn better. Yeah. Well, I think trouble brings revelation. I think you're wrong. The only way trouble helps is if people turn to God when they're in it. Yeah. And then, then it'll help. But it's turning to God that brings the light, that gets the relief, that gets the answer, that gets the deliverance. Yep. God isn't going to shoot you or break your leg to teach you something.
No way.
All right, y'all know I always go there. Okay, now, so Hebrews 4:12, Danny actually touched on this in the thermostats a little bit. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word coming forth in rhema form is actually getting past just your thinking, dropping into your heart, unless you're just stubborn as you can be, and you're going, huh, okay, that's what that said, all right. And it begins to give you revelation, and revelation then changes you, and you're clean. Amen. But you got to have the revelation. You know, if you just hang around in the world, you don't really know what truth is at all. You know, we don't preach sin consciousness at Victory. We don't need to preach sinner, 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 and all that. But you do need to know what sin is.
Yeah.
15 years ago, we had people bring their children to church that were teenagers, and one of the teenagers told me after they'd been there for about a year, they said, I didn't know having sex outside of marriage was a sin. It's quiet in the church. They didn't know. But you can, if you want to find out what sins are, look at Galatians 5. Idolatry, adultery, fornication, lust, murder, hate, wrath, strife, envy, jealousy. Jealousy's right in there with adultery.
Wow.
Judging people is right in there. Partying is right in there with it. All in the same package. Why am I bringing this up? I'm trying to show you that people need to find out from the Word. And then, once you find out from the Word, there's the power to come out of things.
Yeah.
You don't have to live jealous. You do not have to. When that thing sticks up its ugly head, you can go, that's jealousy. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Is it going to? Oh, yes, it's going to. Yeah. It's going to come up somewhere because not everybody's all comfortable in their own skin all the time. They're always, you know, did my boyfriend just go, who's that sister or something, you know, something like that. And you might get a little rub or something. But you got to learn who you are. And you got to learn to trust your mate. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got to learn to trust God. And there's a million ways to be jealous. It's not just boyfriend or girlfriend. Amen. Am I going too deep for y'all today? So, now, here's the more. Not only will it show you, but it empowers you to bring the change. That's how you're going to get the more. You're empowered. God does not demand as Pharaoh the taskmaster. He does not demand as Moses the lawgiver. He provides the means. He comes as a father who gives what he asks and works what he commands. So if he tells me, now, you are going to Marble Falls, then he will bring me to Marble Falls and he will do the work. Now, you are going to a new job assignment. I'm going to bring you to the new job assignment, and then I'm going to give you every single thing you need to fulfill that new job assignment. He'll do it. You're not on your own. In him you live and move and have your being. You're struggling too much. Stop struggling. Just be a branch. Okay, Lord, now what are we going to do? Did you hear what was said? And now what are we going to do? And you'll have to catch yourself and cast down imaginations that try to get you back by your neck and pull you over into Satan's world and his darkness. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. God provides. He comes to us as living branches of a living vine and offers to work more fruit in us if we yield into his hands. Just yield. Just yield. That's all you have to do is yield. So how will you build character? Yield. Let him work. Now, I want to just say this, and we'll go on through this, but just keep this one thing in mind. The word more fruit would be for a branch that is already producing some fruit. Okay. So he'll do everything to make the fruit as rich as possible. He will. Let him. So he'll cause us to produce more fruit as we yield, and we just entrust ourselves to his working. Not our workings. His working. Machines can do a work, but only life bears fruit. There's got to be life in it. See, that's the difference between all of the religions and Christianity. There's a lot of philosophers. There's a lot of Buddha said this and Muhammad and blah, blah, blah. But Jesus is still alive. He's alive right now. Mm-hmm. He's the only one. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. That's where you get your life. That's where you get your life for your branch. I am the vine. This is verse 5. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So now we're talking about much fruit. There was more fruit, and we got that more fruit because we took the correction. We took the direction. Okay, y'all say that. Church, your pride is never going to like correction. And pride cometh before the fall. And I shouldn't say your pride, the pride. Get rid of it. But here's something that'll make it easier for you. When Siri tells you which way to go, you do it. And if Siri says, we use the Australian mail because we don't want that girl bossing us around, but no, I'm kidding. But if Siri tells you where to go and says, make a U-turn, you make the U-turn, don't you? That's how God corrects and directs. You went the wrong way, go back this way. Hey, you're going the wrong way in your thoughts. Cast that down. Hey, you said the wrong thing over here. Make a change. Hey, you're too pushy. Make the change. Hey, you don't speak up enough, which is rare in our place, but make the change. Hey, you're being stingy. Make the change. You're greedy. You're fearful. You're whatever. He may bring those things up to you, but it's as simple as following the direction and getting back on the right road. Amen. Amen. You're dealing with pride. You're holding a grudge. He'll just tell you, or you refuse to be comforted, or you're in grief, or you're this, or you're that, or you're eating the wrong thing, or you're eating too much of the wrong thing, or you're depending too much on your vitamins. That could be true, too. Whatever it is, he'll make the corrections. Just follow him. You don't have to get all beat up over it. All right, which I could tell you I have been, and I refuse to anymore. Now, let's do this, and we'll start closing. We made fruit, then more fruit, then much fruit. Now, here's the much fruit. It's not a demand. This is a simple promise that will come to the abiding branch. Believe the promise. You're going to produce fruit, and you're going to produce more than you realize if you'll just continue to abide. This is an easy life if you let it be an easy life. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I don't know where I'm going to work. Well, I don't know how we're going to make it. Well, they said this, and they did that, and this is happening. And that. Be a branch. Yeah, but they, you better get but they out.
Amen.
It'll ruin every day of your life. This people are people. Did you get engaged? Praise the Lord. Congratulations. Wonderful. Now, how's she? What's she doing right in the middle of her sermon congratulating someone? I don't know. It just came to me. I thought we'd just share it with everybody. Hope that was. You put it on Facebook, so I figured it was okay to share it with the world. So, got a date yet?
Yeah.
When?
November 2027.
Okay. Well, congratulations. That is wonderful. All you got to do is follow the path, right? Everything will be there, everything you need. Everything will be there for your wedding. You don't have to struggle through it. You don't have to let your mama control the wedding. No. I've seen too many Hallmark movies. Have y'all seen it where the mother always wants to control the wedding? And I've actually seen that in real life a lot, but praise the Lord. No, no. Anyway, congratulations.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're family here. All right, so more fruit. So what we're looking at then would be double abiding, because this is what the scripture is going to say right here. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's a good verse. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you're going to ask whatever you will. And it shall. Well, if you're abiding, you're going to ask the right thing. See, what messes people up is they don't think God wants them to have anything. Well, I don't know if God wants me to have that car. Well, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? If he had a reason, he'd already tell you, no, don't believe for that car, believe for another car. He'd just tell you, and then you'd find the better one. All you got to do is listen. Don't buy that house if he says not to buy that house. Yeah, I really like it. Yeah, but you don't know what's next. You don't know what could be right around the corner. You don't know what could be better than what's standing there in front of you right now. But, Pastor, I love him. I love him. He is so cute in those blue jeans, and I just love him. And I know I can change. He's not saved, but I love him. And I can convince him. Whoa. See, you're already going down the wrong path on that. You're already going down the wrong path. God Almighty will show you. You don't have to try to force a square peg in a round hole. You don't have to do that. Some of us have lived through that. Thank God for our children, but things could have been better. You can believe the right thing. You can go to the right school. Whatever is next, whatever is next, God has the right thing. And you can end up in the right thing. Well, you sure are taking a long time on this. Yes, I am. Because I'm trying to drill in you to just be a branch. Just be a branch. This is the last time we're going to talk about it, so I'm giving it everything I have as slow as I can. Just be a branch. So, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. I'm in him, he's in me. And then the word, all of the promises, the wisdoms, the corrections, and the directions will all come through the sap. They're all going to come through. And knowing that the abiding word has the power to create. Now, we got about 7 minutes. And I want to go somewhere really fast, and then we're going to pick up on this next Sunday. How is your faith? How are you working your faith? It's time to talk about it again. We talk about it every year. We need to talk. Are you using your faith or not? Are you really using it? Are you seeing things manifest? Or are you just fighting off the battles? We're going to make sure you're not doing that, but you're winning. And everything that you have, you're faithing for, is coming in. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I stepped on that particular place because the abiding word has the power to create. The word that's in you that is coming out of here or out of here or out of you here has the power to create. And it'll create the other way too. It'll create the devil's platform as well.
Yeah.
Your mouth can. The word of God enters your will. You pray your will. It is his will. His will is good and heaven on earth. That's what you're going to get. Church, we need to believe the promises. We need to believe this promise. You can find a promise in the word and pray it fully and it just expect it to come to pass. Amen. That when I said that about Job, you have to realize the pipeline produced. That pipeline actually produced for him. He prayed for his friends and everything happened to him. You can't outgive God. Thermostats, raise your hand, thermostat. Your praying is bringing great things into your presence.
Amen.
Yeah, it is. All of the rest of you prayers, you don't have to be a thermostat, but all the rest of you. You're praying. You're believing God and praying for Israel, for the administration, for America, for this church, for the pastors, for your family, everyone you're praying for, you're producing fruit, and yet it's also bringing your comfort, your provision, your healing. Everything's coming to you because you have a flow. You know what the Dead Sea is? How many of you know what the Dead Sea is? Why is it dead? What? It comes in there, but it does not flow out. Right now, I don't think anything's flowing in it, but it used to. But it's stopped up. You have to have a flow. Things die. There's nothing living in it. It's really salty. It burns your eyes so bad. I accidentally got some in my eye. It's got to be moving. And you're doing that. That's what you're doing. Always calling down from the heavenly realm and anointing the blessings of God to help other people. Well, I guess I better start praying. Hey, Branch, you have the power to pray.
Yeah.
Stop acting like it's so hard to pray.
Yeah.
Just, Lord, thank you for this family over here. Lord, thank you for Brother Copeland today. Thank you for helping Brother Cole. Thank you for helping Mr. Trump today. Thank you for helping my kids today. Thank you for it, Lord. From my high seat of authority, I declare today there'll be, you get this prayed over you every day.
Yes.
There'll be no tragedy, no accident, no sickness, no disease, no perversion, no invasion, inflammation, insurrection, trouble, sorrow, disaster of any kind. I pray that over every one of you every single day. As soon as I walk into my bathroom to get ready, that's when I pray, which is almost always the first thing I do. It's that easy. And it's not a legal thing to me. It just rolls out. Just step it. You don't have to go, well, I'm gonna pray for 5 hours. Well, good, but how about just praying a little all day long? Lord, thank you for so-and-so. Bless them right now. They're on my heart. Thank you for that. Yes. Just praying along and then getting down and praying some when you need to.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. All right. John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So how do we glorify God? Get this point. Not by adding to his glory or by bringing him new glory that he has not, but simply allowing his glory to shine out through us. What's already there. Not you getting all shiny and saying, look what I did, God. Just let his stuff come out of you. I read Kim's story she writes for the devotional she writes for the hospitals. And I was telling her, man, that was really great. And she said, the Holy Spirit just gives it to me. Well, that's the way to do it. She says, and if I get off into my own thinking, and when I start typing it out, it ends up being something different because it was my own thought, and I don't want that. It just needs to be God's flow. Amen? Simply allow his glory to shine out through us. That's all we have to do. Well, how do you do that? Yield. Yield. Just yield to it. Well, I don't know how to yield. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do know how to yield. You can do it. You just simply give in. You just give in. Listen, as we close, if your mind rolls like this, which I say it's probably rare, well, I'm just doing everything for the church I can already do. I need to tend to my own life. You've missed the whole meaning of living in God. First, God doesn't ask for fruit so that he can prove what he can do. He asks for it for the salvation of other people. Needs must be met. And so that's why we're producers. Then second, when God asks for more, it's not a command for you to work harder in your soul or in your flesh. Although you might need to get off the couch, but that's a side effect of it. But he's asking for you to receive more power. Receive the power. Receive the presence. Receive the love. Receive the promises. Receive the answers. Receive the influence. Just receive it. It's coming from Spirit inside you. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit right now is vibrating loud and clear on the inside of you. Just receive what he has on the inside. It'll come into your thinking. It'll come into your body. You can get healed right now. It'll come into your nervous system. It'll come, hey, it'll come all the way into your bank account. It'll turn out as favor. It'll turn out as opening doors. It'll turn out every way that you want to go if you'll just receive and let that flow through you. When the boat started sinking, they called on their partners to help bring the nets in. That's what they did. Why? Too much. Too much. We need to step into too much. Too much of everything. Too much anointing. You got to release it. We used to have such strong meetings that we had to have the anointing dissipate through people. We would have to get people to grab each other and let the anointing flow out because it was so strong on a couple of people that you couldn't hardly function. You had to let, well, you've got that power in you right now. That power is in you right now. Right now. The promises are in you right now. Your prosperity is sitting on the inside of you right now. Let it go. Let it flow. Let it move out. Just let it move out. It's right here, right now. It will go out. It'll stream out and grab the natural realm and bring in what you want. Well, I don't have enough jobs. Let it flow. Let who you are flow. Let the promise flow, and it'll grab what you need. You don't have to settle for second best. You are the head and not the tail. You're above only, first, not last. That's a promise, and that's not a haughty thing. You're God's kid. We all look after our kids first. We love all children, but you're going to look after your own kid. You're going to correct your own kid first. You're going to give to them first. You're going to do whatever. You're not going to say, well, Danny's not going to say, Addie, sorry, I'm giving the inheritance to Katie. No, Katie just went, well. The truth is this mom and pop are going to take care of that. But the inheritance is going to come from this one to that one. And that's exactly how God feels about you. It's coming from him to you, him to you, him to you, through the vine to you, to you. You just have to receive it. Last time I checked, let's see, when I did get my inheritance, it's been a long time ago, but when I did get my inheritance, it went into money markets, and I had to write checks to get it out. Back in the old days, you wrote checks back then. I don't really remember having a debit card. I don't think that existed. Nobody wanted to give me a credit card back then, so praise the Lord. All those days are gone. But I remember I had to write. When a deposit is made, you got to make a draw. Yes. Make a draw on it. Do y'all see what I'm telling you? Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we make draws from the vine. We make draws from the vine. If my cup overflows, it fills up other cups. I'm totally in the overflow, and I fill up another cup. The vine gives the branches all they need to produce. Now, here's my saying. You can pick it up if you want to. If you don't like it, fine. O vine, I am thine. I receive what is mine. It's a little King Jamesy, but it rhymes. Hey, that rhymed too. O vine, I am thine. I receive what is mine. Now, a couple of days ago, it was hot. The ground was dusty. It was awful at our house. So I said, O vine, I am thine. I receive the rain that is mine. And 2 hours later, it started pouring down rain. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Don't let it get jam-locked. Just ask for it. Just ask for it. You'll have it. Just ask. Stop. Well, I'm not good enough. Stop it. Well, I don't know how it could happen. Stop that. God has a way. God has a way. God has a way.